onto traffic. Slow moving right as you get off the fish hook all the way down to 41st Avenue, 5 to 10 miles per hour will be your top speed. Both directions slow moving near State Park due to ongoing construction. Be on the lookout there. The time is now 2:06. Coming up next year on your favorite radio station, it's time for Community Matters with Becky Steinbruner.
Opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of KSCO staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please let us know by writing to us at comments@ksco.com.
Good afternoon, KSCO listeners. Welcome to Community Matters. My name is Becky Steinbruner. I'm honored to be your host here for the next hour, and I think you are very much going to enjoy the program guest we have today. I will tell you, I have just come from a battery science symposium, scientists talking about the aftermath and science monitoring of organisms in the Elkhorn Slough, following up on the January 2025 Moss Landing Battery fire. It was a great morning and a good lead-in to our guest today. I am honored to have on the phone here Mr. Graham Grant. He is the Chief Officer of Operations for a company called Alsym, an American-based sodium battery company. Let me bring him up now. Hello, Mr. Grant. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, how are you, Becky?
Excellent. Very well. Thank you. I'm just going to lock you in here. Okay, there you are. Mr. Grant, thank you very much. You're calling us from Massachusetts, I believe, right?
Yes, just outside of Boston.
Well, thank you. I know you have a lot going on, a lot on your plate, so I want to thank you very much for taking time to inform the KSCO listening audience about Alsym, what you're doing, what the company's doing, and what are the benefits of sodium batteries. So begin, please, by telling us about yourself and your background.
Sure. Again, a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. So my name is Graham Grant. I am the COO at Alsym Energy. Alsym Energy is an American sodium-ion battery company. It's interesting, my journey in terms of getting into the battery space is always a personal story behind it. I'm not a chemist per se or something behind that, but you know, I am a serial entrepreneur. And you know, I think like all of us, the COVID years affected us. And while I was doing a lot of work in software, I wasn't doing bad things. You know, I wasn't hurting the world in any ways. I think the COVID year says there are big issues out in the world. And what am I doing about it? I've got four kids, and I started thinking that I wanted them to be proud of, you know, me being in the fight trying to address, you know, the world's major issues, and obviously climate change being one of the major issues. And so it was very important to me to be engaged in the climate tech space. And that brought me to Alsym Energy as just a extremely innovative American battery cell company.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes, COVID was a tough time for all of us. So, and
yeah,
it caused
no
many
doubt
of us to go into introspection. So I think you made an excellent choice here. And I'm very, very excited to learn more about your work and Alsym. Tell us about Alsym. What's this company and what are you doing?
Yeah. So we are the leading sodium ion cell company in the United States. So there's a couple things in that sentence that I want to break down. So first, sodium ion, that's the core chemistry that we look at. And as we get forward, I can go into some more detail of the specific variant of sodium ion. But it is a rapidly growing and very important chemistry. I think, as you know, today, all batteries are lithium ion batteries. Mm-hmm. And as your intro mentioned, one of the dangers of lithium ion, it's a good battery, but if something goes wrong, it can go really wrong.
Yeah.
And as a company, our mission has really been, there's like people pursue billion-dollar opportunities. We're pursuing a billion people opportunity. And, you know, there are billions of people in the world who don't have access to energy and are, you know, stuck in a cycle of poverty. And we really felt that the world needs safe, low-cost, effective energy everywhere, and that's been our mission. We think batteries are essential to that. And so our mission has been, how do we develop that at a battery level? So sodium really creates that opportunity in a way lithium doesn't. And the world is starting to recognize that. Morgan Stanley just even 6 weeks ago came out with a report suggesting that sodium ion batteries could be 60% of the global market share for batteries in energy storage by 2035, which is not far away. So we're about to see a massive chemistry shift from lithium to sodium in the next little while.
That's encouraging, let me tell you.
Yeah, we're excited. Oh, I'm sorry, I cut myself off. So a little bit more. So I said, you know, sodium ion is really important. Being domestic is very important to us as well. The other element, as you know, with lithium, all batteries are lithium, and all lithium batteries are fundamentally controlled through China.
Yeah.
And if we move from a fossil fuel world with an OPEC and we move to a new world, let's not get a different OPEC. And we have seen China flexing its muscles around whether it's, you know, different manufacturing capabilities or rare earths or anode materials that will not, you know, use their dominance in lithium ion to their advantage. That's not a good place for us to be. Sodium ion breaks that disadvantage. Sodium is 1,000 times more abundant than lithium. The inputs are cheap and everywhere. The U.S. actually has some specific advantages in sodium, which I can talk about.
Yes.
So we're really excited about that and our Americanness. It's all our intellectual property is our own. And then the last thing I want to say about us that makes us different is we are non-flammable. So sometimes sodium ion is said to be safer. And what that means is it has less energy per battery. So if that battery burns, there's less energy in the flame. So that's safer. But that's different than not burning.
Yeah.
And ours does not. We do not go into thermal runaway. We think that is essential. Again, that's our mission from the get-go. Low-cost, effective, safe battery for all. Energy for all. That's really our focus.
Boy, that is music to my ears and certainly everyone listening in the Monterey Bay who watched what happened in horror at the Moss Landing, Moss 300 fire. It was terrible. And continues to be terrible. So what ELSIM is doing is truly a good thing for the people, the environment, and the world. So I want to thank you. Are the research and production facilities both in Malden, Massachusetts, where you're based now?
Yeah. So our development facility is all in Malden. All our we're a bit old school in that we're all in person.
Nice.
No remote work for us because you got to get your hands dirty in the lab, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've really built out a world-class innovation center. And we go all the way from, you know, we use AI extensively. We call our development platform a physics-informed AI platform. So we are doing, you know, early-stage materials discovery all the way through characterization and optimization, building cells, testing cells, validating cells and chemistries and performance characteristics. We've got that full development and also even de-risking at the manufacturing level. So all that is within our Malden facility. We're very proud of the work we do. We think just having that direct connection through the science, the machines, the testing, and all those pieces allows us to innovate. Well, we know it allows us to innovate far faster than anyone else. And it's what really has had the breakthrough in the science that we think we've had. As you scale production, those are big, big facilities. And that's where we turn to partners. And we, with one of the most exciting things about sodium ion chemistry, and just to be clear, when I say lithium or I say sodium, this is a little technical, but on the sodium, on the lithium side, I mean specifically LFP. That's the acronym for the chemistry. And that is the by far dominant chemistry for energy storage. Mm-hmm. Less so in EVs, but it is for energy storage. And when I say sodium, I mean NFPP. That's the N being the periodic table sign for NA for sodium. So NFPP versus LFP. Anyways, the point I was trying to make is that sodium can be made in a lithium cell factory with no change to that factory.
Oh.
And that is a game changer because suddenly, instead of a new chemistry coming along that needs new machines, new processes, dedicated factories, et cetera, we can take advantage of the incredible innovation and optimization that's already gone into LFP factories and jump right into that. So that allows us to scale extremely fast and scale cost effectively. So you asked a question about what's in Malden. Really, it's all our development and innovation work. And then we take that and we build at third parties. We're already doing that in the UK. We are doing, we've done some small scale production at some different sites within the United States. We've announced a partnership to be building a very significant manufacturing facility in Pennsylvania with our partner Rebuild Manufacturing. So we're very, very excited about the manufacturing and the ecosystem capabilities for the United States workforce.
Rightly so, rightly so. And I read some of the articles. Your company sends out a marvelous newsletter. I really need to commend you on that. And a great website.
I'll tell the team. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very good. And one of the articles that was sent out talked about this American Battery Leadership Coalition, where you are partnering with others. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we just founded it. We're the chairman, but we're partnering with the ecosystem because it's not about how can one company succeed, but how can we as an industry succeed?
Yeah.
And so we have, so we sell, we make cells, so batteries, but they have to go into boxes, you know, in, at the grid level, those are 20-foot containers. But if you were a house, it would go inside the Tesla Powerwall or a Generac Powerwall or things like that. So those folks who make the boxes, the containers, they're called system integrators or OEMs. So we have some of those. We also have people who provide our inputs on the anode side, the cathode side, separators. These are some of the components of the cell. We have a manufacturer partnership. So we're trying to build the whole ecosystem from soup to nuts to be part of this coalition, because that's the opportunity that exists here, is that we can be entirely outside of the lithium ion supply chain, which as I described, at every level is being controlled by China. And that's not, that's not trying to bash China or anything like that, but we've seen geopolitically that's a fraught relationship. And if our future depends on energy, we can't be beholden to the ups and downs of that relationship. We have to develop our own energy sovereignty. So that's what this is about. Just a little bit more on that. It's a funny name, right? Like, it's called the American Battery Leadership Coalition. Why isn't it called the American Sodium Ion Coalition? That's more straightforward. And we were very specific on why we chose that, because the general population and, you know, the country as a whole, they're not choosing a chemistry. They're not interested in that chemistry. But we are interested as a country in energy sovereignty and in energy leadership. And our position is, we can do that really only through sodium ion. As a country, and frankly, both sides of the aisle, we recognize batteries are essential to our energy infrastructure. Yeah. Utilities, transmission, microgrids, everywhere, and fossil fuels or renewables are saying we need batteries and we need a lot of them. So that's come out. And you can see in all the battery incentives from the IRA, we're actually preserved in the OBBB, which gutted everything else, wind, solar, et cetera. So batteries have a lot of support. And as I said, but the problem is none of them are made here. So for us to go after that, which we are as a country, we are talking about hundreds of billions of dollars to catch up to the investments that have already been made in that, in the lithium ion infrastructure. And maybe we catch up, maybe we don't, but it's gonna be really hard and very difficult and then be a me-too product.
Yeah.
Sodium ion, as I just described, is suddenly, wow, it could be and is the right chemistry for energy infrastructure. It definitively is. And it's the beginning of the race.
Yeah.
So that race is not over. So we've got this window, you know, the next 5-7 years where we can win. We can establish our leadership before that lead is too great.
Indeed.
And that's really what the coalition is about. Like, this is the moment, and we've got to seize it before it's too late. And I'll tell you a story about that. That is,
can we hold for just a moment? I'm hearing my wonderful program manager here sounding the music. We need to take a brief break. Please stay with us, and thank you very much. We're listening to Mr. Graham Grant, Operations Officer of Alsem Sodium Battery Manufacturing.
From DCD Insurance. BCD is a full insurance agency here in Santa Cruz. We specialize in life and health, home and auto, and business insurances. We're independent, locally owned, and part of Think Local First. So if you have any insurance needs, please give us a chance to earn your business. We work with Covered California, individual and family insurance, Medicare supplements, drug plans, and Medicare Advantage plans, and we specialize in Northern California. Give us a call at 831-423-8542, 831-423-8542, or you can find us at dcdis.com, like dog, cat, dog insurance service, dcdis.com, 831-423-8542. We look forward to assisting you.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. McCollum, and I have this amazing guy, Gary, here, who's a new patient to our office, and he just came up to the front and started talking about stuff, and I wanted you to just express what you were telling us.
What is really satisfying to me is coming here and meeting fine people like Natalie, and frequently she's the utility player running around the office, and you can always tell that Natalie's on the phone because she will always say, McCollum Chiropractic, I can help you. And you know what? She can and she does. And it just makes my heart jump just to realize there's such helpful and friendly people in the office. Everyone from Angus, who runs the TRT machine, the other chiropractors in the office, and the administrative staff like Arlene, very friendly and very helpful. If you want to feel comfortable at a chiropractor's office, come to Dr. McCollum. He's conveniently located off of 41st Avenue.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Call today for a complimentary consultation, 831-459-9990.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Davenport, Carmel, and Tassajaro Hot Springs.
And welcome back to Community Matters. I'm honored to be your host, and especially honored and grateful to have with me as my guest here today, Mr. Graham Grant from Alsim Sodium Battery Company, based in Massachusetts. Again, thank you, Mr. Grant, for joining us today to help us all learn more about sodium batteries. You were going to tell us a story talking about the competitiveness, and I'm sorry I had to break you off there. But thank you for your patience, and please proceed.
Not at all. I get excited and then I get going. Apologies for that.
Rightly so.
So I was telling the story of like why we chose a coalition whose job it is to advance the sodium ion industry in the United States, why we called it the American Leadership Coalition. And my point was that there's an opportunity that's early days and we can be leaders before that lead is too far away from us. And the apocryphal story I think about is LFP. So LFP was commercialized here in the United States, actually in Massachusetts, company called A123. It went public around 2010 or in that neighborhood. It had raised money. Unfortunately, it bet on EVs at a time when EVs weren't ready, and the company went bankrupt. It was sold for almost nothing to a Chinese company who took the IP and it is and then spread that throughout the Chinese industry, and it is now the dominant chemistry in the world. And we are now trying, as I mentioned earlier, it's now hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to catch up to this essential thing, which we invented, and we had, and we were first. So I see this now as this type of moment again, where it is very clear the world is electrifying. We need batteries as part of our electrical future, and this window has opened. Whether it's luck or chance, but the window has just opened, and that's why this is an American Battery Leadership Coalition, because the leadership is ours if we seize it. We have the best innovation. We have the private capital. We have the entrepreneurship ecosystem. If we can also get the federal support, we have the opportunity to win. Yeah. And that's what this is about.
Yeah. And one of the articles in Alsim's newsletter talks about AI energy race accelerates sodium battery production. That really is a big piece of it, isn't it?
For sure. I mean, as you know, AI, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's happening.
It is.
And directly connected to AI is power and energy. Power and energy needs batteries. I mean, I think every ratepayer out there is concerned about this, right? We've seen that, okay, well, if growth that, the utilities will say, wonderful, let me build a massive plant at huge expense and pass that cost on to ratepayers. We know that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an opportunity where it actually can be a win-win, and that's where batteries can come in. So right now the grid is actually only utilized about 50% on average,
mm-hmm.
But you have to build for 100% reliability. But you have to build for the peak demand. And an AI data center is big enough that that really raises the peak demand.
Yeah.
And the utility's response is, great, let me make a big investment. I'm a regulated thing, and so I can get a guaranteed return that I pass on via higher rates. What if we did this? What if we said, AI data center, I want you to connect to the grid on regular times, increase the utilization from 50 to 60% or something, which will actually lower rates for everybody, but with one caveat, you got to take care of your peaks so that we're not going to build more on the grid to take care of your peak. Sometimes, by the way, the peak is only about 70 hours a year.
Oh.
So that's not a lot.
Yeah.
So the way to peak shave is batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can come, AI data center, with batteries, and you can take care of your peaks, everyone wins. You get your data center. The actual rates will go down for utility players, and we can move faster and also win on the AI race, which is also an existential threat for us. So
Yeah. That's
how it's all connected. You know, for us, the reason I think sodium, it's more than just batteries. Sodium is actually better for AI data centers than lithium is.
Mm.
And the reason is a couple of ones. One is everyone talks about AI data centers, you know, leading a ton of energy, and that's true. But they also need a different type of energy. The way AI GPUs work, they go, huge crunching and then they pause, and then huge crunching and then they pause. And that causes massive energy swings.
Oh.
The grid is not designed. Sometimes by these way, these energy swings can be 2 to 4x in milliseconds.
Wow.
The grid is not designed to deal with swings like that. It's more designed to say, yeah, you know, I use more power at 4 p.m. than I do at noon, or, you know, sort of a little bit more predictable, ups and downs, but they cannot take 2 to 4x swings in power, especially a big power source.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a buffer. You need a shock absorber. Batteries are that shock absorbers. And sodium, just based on some of the properties, charge, discharge rates, that's a little on the technical side, are better suited to handle those shock absorbers than lithium. So
mm-hmm.
that is an ideal situation for sodium chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And I will interject here that, and please confirm this, sodium batteries do not have thermal runaway problem. So it's better for the people, better for our first responders, better for our environment.
Mm. Yes and no. So sodium, as I tried to say or said a little earlier, is safer in that there's less energy per cell, so the fires are less violent and less dangerous. That's true. However, there's still fires.
Mm.
Alsem's innovation, and this is our unique intellectual property, is that we have figured out how to avoid thermal runaway entirely. We have heated our cells up to 400 degrees C, which is extraordinarily hot, and thermal runaway does not happen. I mean, at some level, you know, you could burn a bicycle, but the question is, does the bicycle contribute to the fire? That's what thermal runaway is about, where the battery just takes over and you get these craziness. Our batteries do not go into thermal runaway.
So Alsem in particular has come up with a chemistry that does not have thermal runaway problems. Sodium in general
Yes. May,
but not sodium batteries from Alsem.
Correct.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad you changed careers, Mr. Grant. And I can't tell you, having just come and sat with people who were burned, who had to suffer the effects of the Moss Landing fire and are still suffering, I can't tell you how much this means to our community to have an alternative that is very, very doable. And now tell us, does Alsem have any projects that have been installed or in the pipeline?
We do have projects in the pipeline. Right now, so we are building cells, as I mentioned, in the UK. But these are sample quantities for our strategic customers. And our strategic customers are, you know, we want to sell to those container makers. So And these are not our customers. I'm just naming the types, like a Tesla, like a Generac, like a Schneider, like a Cummins, those types of players who make containers. I actually forget who made the containers for Moss Landing. I used to know. But we want to be the cells inside those containers. And so then our properties of non-flammable goes to those containers as well. So we're making those cells now. We signed 19 gigawatt hours of orders with projects spanning 28 and onwards. Mm-hmm. So one of the key customers that we've signed with is Juniper, which is a California battery developer. Mm-hmm. For 500 megawatt hours. They've got several projects in the queue. And they're working with our other partner, ESS, they will buy the containers from ESS. The ESS containers will have our cells inside of them.
Excellent. You're also doing some work in Australia with mining company Arity.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's one of the incredible things about what I'm seeing on energy storage is how it is everywhere. We think grids, we think AI data centers, but along comes this mining services company. And I think those of us not in the mining world just forget how big mines are. Mm-hmm. They were telling me that one mine can burn, this is true, a million liters of diesel a month.
Yeah,
because they're off grid, they're in harsh climates. So how do they operate? Diesel generators, which is dirty, noisy, and hugely expensive. Mm-hmm. So they are moving fast. If you're in Australia, you can use the sun, solar, but you need batteries, and the batteries have to be safe. You may be doing underground mining or other things like that. You cannot afford. There's zero chance of a fire. You can't add any chance of fire risk down there. And a lithium ion fire, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And so they have signed a massive order with us because they want to develop battery systems for the mining industry, which is, again, I think it's estimated to 3% of global emissions is just mining.
Wow.
The scale is mind-boggling. Wow. And there are more and more of these. I think one of the great powers of the energy transition that's going on is distributed energy. It's akin to the mainframes moving to PCs and then mobile phones. Our current system is hub and spoke. You need a massive plant, coal, gas, whatever, and then you hub and spoke, the spokes out to all the distribution. Well, there's not much scale to solar.
Mm-hmm.
A solar panel works as well whether you have two of them or 25,000, a little bit of efficiency, but not much. So if you're going to have distributed energy and then you can pair that with distributed storage, wow, that microgrid capability everywhere, it creates a much more resilient grid, but it also creates more and more opportunities. And so I think seeing on the industrial side of the space where factories and companies want to take over and be in control of their own energy with renewables, that is an untapped capability that I think we're just scratching the surface of, which, again, that's why I see batteries absolutely everywhere as part of our future.
Yeah, agreed. And the California Energy Commission has actually allocated $270 million to support pilot projects for non-lithium batteries for long duration.
Yep.
So there we go with that microgrid approach, huh?
Totally. The CEC has been a real leader, without a doubt. A real leader in this industry and helping the industry overall, without a doubt.
Well, this is sounding more hopeful all the time, let me tell you.
Yeah. I got to say, just on that front, and I think about this as a person, and the more I've got into this space and the deeper I get, I am absolutely a long-term optimist. We have the tools. We have the tools to solve this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident about that. And we're going to. Solar keeps getting cheaper, wind gets cheaper, batteries keep getting cheaper. Economics will drive this, and that is what is happening. So that's, I feel very good in the long term.
Yeah.
We're in for some short-term toughness because the damage that has happened is not being undone anytime soon. So we've got, unfortunately, several, maybe decades ahead of us that are tough.
Mm-hmm.
But the long term, I'm very confident.
We can do it. I agree. How long Tell us a little bit about the nature of Alsem's batteries. How are, what's their cost like? How what's their length life like? What's that like?
Yeah. So one of the great things about the chemistry we started with, NFPP, and then we call it our variant is called NFPP Plus. That's the non-flammability part of it, and also the, you know, it's a higher energy density. But one as a class, NFPP is really, really stable, which means it lasts for a long time. So, you know, 20 years cycling every day, no problem. Mm-hmm. So it's both calendar life is incredible, and the cycling capacity is incredible. It's also, it's a really resilient chemistry. So I've mentioned that lithium is a good chemistry, and it really is, but it's kind of temperamental. It likes to be at room temperature. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you've got that 20-foot container of lithium, you also have a pretty complicated cooling system in there. If, you know, I was talking to Juniper, which is, I mentioned, the developer in California, you know, you put this in the desert beside PV or solar, you are running a refrigerator in the desert to keep your batteries cool.
Yeah.
That's really expensive. Yeah. Sodium doesn't need that. Sodium is really good at high temperature and is very safe and performant at high temperature. So suddenly you do not need cooling. That both saves operational costs. It takes away the noise, which is serious.
Huge.
Huge.
Yes.
You know, if you've been near a HVAC system running like that, it's loud.
Yeah.
So you take away that, it's a really, really good fit.
That's great. We talked a little bit about mining. We need to go first. You didn't answer the question about cost. How do they compare with cost?
Oh, gosh.
A little bit.
I'm sorry, I lost
Please.
My thread.
Me too. Cost. Sorry.
Yeah. So no. It's a great question. So the inputs for sodium are far, far cheaper. That's really exciting. So lithium carbonate, which is part of lithium for the lithium cell, it costs about $20,000 per metric ton. Sodium carbonate, which is the comparable, is $500. So 500 versus 20,000. That's a massive win.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, and I never would have known this otherwise, the U.S. has the world's largest deposit of natural sodium carbonate. It's like 85% of the world's deposit. It's in Wyoming. The mineral's called trona. It's called also called soda ash. It's actually one of Wyoming's largest industries. And it's already mined at scale because we use it for glass making. It's like, oh, we might have a competitive advantage on this.
Wow.
You can make sodium carbonate synthetically, but it's cost about double. So we really might have an input cost that is a big difference. So that's that's on one side, the sodium. The other part I mentioned on lithium is called graphite. And in sodium, it's called hard carbon. Hard carbon, and this is true, I mean, at a crude level, is kind of incinerated organic waste. So today, the dominant feedstock is coconut husks, truly. Like, it's that easy and distributed. We're working with a couple of different companies in the United States who can make it from, you know, sawdust waste. Or even, you know, a company working in West Virginia can take old coal mine waste and use that for the coal and use it. So, like, it is abundant and cheap.
Yeah.
So the inputs to sodium ion cells are far cheaper. The downside, and this really is the only downside to sodium, is that it is less energy dense than lithium. Lithium is one of the most energy dense, if not the most, out there. So the sodium ion, what that means fundamentally is to get the same amount of energy, you have to make more cells. And so that's where the costing in energy storage is all about cost per energy, not cost per cell. So that energy density penalty does exist for sodium, but we're looking at it and we think we can be extremely competitive. Morgan Stanley is already projecting that within 3 years, sodium cells will be 30% cheaper than LFP cells. So there's a real, real cost advantage to going here. It will take some scale, but it's a very exciting future.
That's very exciting. And as you were talking, some of the reading I did about Alsem's batteries is that unlike lithium, they can be completely discharged and so that's also a big piece in all of this, because the mismanagement of lithium batteries tends to create the problems that lead to thermal runaway, whereas Alzheimer's batteries can be completely discharged and then fully charged. And so that would help make up for the problem, I would think, in the energy density.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So sometimes we talk about available power versus
yes.
sort of the nameplate power, right? So you're right. If you empty a lithium battery all the way to zero, you create a risk. It's technically called dendrites.
Yes.
It's a function of the copper that's being used. But that's what pierces the cell, and then you get a short, and then the thermal runaway. That's
yes.
absolutely true. So what it means is there's some actual logistics complexity, like don't get it too small, make sure too low, you got to charge it up. Sometimes you got to charge it up and you get special permission if you want to transport it, because now you have a big energy thing that's moving around. It's
right.
a problem.
Right.
Sodium can go to zero again and again, no trouble. So when I talk about thousands or tens of thousands or 10,000 cycles or whatever, I'm saying 100% to zero, because there's actually, it doesn't use copper. And that copper is what creates that dendrite, what's called state of charge, empty, basically.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't use that. And so there's no risk of that. So that's, a safety element. So it gets rid of that failure mode.
Again, you are music to our ears here in the Monterey Bay, Mr. Grant. I'm hearing the music, so we've got to take one more break before we finish.
Sure.
And maybe we can take some calls on the other side if you wish. So stay with us, please, here. We'll be right back. This is Community Matters with Mr. Graham Grant of Alsim, and I'm your host, Becky Steinbruner. Stay tuned.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. here on KSCO AM 1080 in Santa Cruz. Please join us as we welcome Motown legend Martha Reeve. That's TV Confidential every Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO. Listen and be heard.
Are you a veteran or know someone who is? Every Tuesday morning from 9 to noon, the Veterans Memorial Building in Watsonville opens its doors to proudly serve those who've served us. Stop by 215 East Beach Street for free access to the food pantry and to meet with a veterans representative who can help you with benefits, housing resources, healthcare enrollment, and more vital support. And on the second Tuesday of every month, you'll also find the VA Mobile Medical Outreach Team on site, ready to assist with claims, employment services, and veterans court information. If you've got your DD-214, bring it along and get connected with the programs and people who can make a difference. That's every Tuesday, 9 to noon, at the Veterans Memorial Building, 215 East Beach Street, downtown Watsonville. Because when veterans are supported, our whole community grows stronger together.
The Ramsey Show.
But I hear it all the time. Jade, the system is set up for people like us to fail. There are things, there are obstacles to overcome for anybody.
For anybody.
There's sexism, there's racism, there's ageism, there's all these things. But you're more limited by your own mindset than you are limited by anything systemic. You can't blame your way to a better life. You can build your way to a better life. You can believe your way. You can behave your way. You cannot blame your way.
Dave Ramsey, Monday through Thursday, noon till 2. KSEO, KOMY.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Capitola, Castroville, and San Benito.
And welcome back to Community Matters. If you're just joining us, welcome. We have here with us on the phone from Malden, Massachusetts, Mr. Graham Grant. He's the operating chief for Alsim, a sodium battery company, with a very unique chemistry that does not suffer from thermal runaway. Now, that should be music to all of our ears, and it certainly is to mine. Mr. Grant, would you like to accept any callers from our audience now?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Excellent. Anyone listening that has a question for Mr. Grant, please call our number here at the studio. That is 831-479-1080. 479-1080. And we'll do our best to get you on the air and get your answers before we are off at the top of the hour. Mr. Grant, one issue that has come up with lithium batteries is how to recycle them. And there's been a new report come out about how it's not such a pretty picture. What is it like for recycling sodium batteries? Do you have any information for us?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, lithium batteries can be recycled, but there are some problems with that, particularly the toxicity of the chemicals to do all those pieces. Mm-hmm. So I'd say good news, bad news on the sodium ion recycling front. The good news is, these are very safe chemicals and materials, and so the toxicity is just not the same at all. So that's the great news. The bad news is these materials are really cheap, which means it's hard to make the economic case to recycle them. Right. Actually, you're seeing that already. A lot of the recycling businesses were based on recycling NMC, which has quite valuable rare earths in that. Mm-hmm. As the shift has moved to LFP, which is a lower cost battery, ergo lower cost minerals, the economics to recycle that have been hard. Mm-hmm. And sodium, as I said, $500 for sodium carbonate. Why would you recycle it if I can get it brand new for cheap? So we'll see about how that plays out. The good news for us is, that may not be until 20 years from now.
Right.
So hopefully there's a lot of advancements. But right now, I don't have a clear line of sight on the recycling side.
Well, with a long life, it won't be as much of a problem, seemingly, as with lithium. We have a project in permitting process here in Santa Cruz County with 300 storage containers full of lithium LFP batteries. Mm-hmm. And the developer is saying they would have to change their batteries out every 4 years because of the, I'm going to just say it, the abuse that they would be giving it, creating the dendrites to avoid thermal runaway. So that's a lot of recycling right there. And those are
sure
on the
is.
Highways, those things are going up in flames all over the place. So we have a caller. Would you like to take them now?
Sure.
All right. Let's see if we can bring them on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Community Matters here with Graham Grant from Alsim. Thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I have a question regarding single family homes. Eventually, we're going to have to bump everything up to 200 amp services, seeing that we're going to have the heating, the drying, and the cooking on electrical. How much would a battery cost for a 200 amp home? 48 kVA.
That's a great question. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think electrification of the home is absolutely happening. And, especially in California, the potential for solar paired with storage can create a really very powerful economic factor. I'm not that close to the specifics of a storage system. My numbers may be wrong, and I'm just not that close to it, but I believe a typical home, it's probably in the neighborhood of $10,000 to get the battery storage for that. I don't know that, but that's my hunch.
That's about what I've heard from our local power aggregate, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. There's a couple.
It is a lot.
I think it's certainly a lot. But, there's a lot of different options that are going on. You're seeing now some models I've seen where actually you pay nothing, where you pay only storage. Mm-hmm. You pay only installation, which is call it $1,000. And then the trade is it's here for backup. Anytime you need it, we'll guarantee you 24 hours of backup. But then the developer of that does something called a VPP, which is a virtual power plant. And so they then use that battery on a regular basis to sell the battery back wholesale to the grid, and they make their money back on that. So they do this buying and selling of the energy. You don't have to do anything. You just pay for the install, which is $1,000. So that those models are happening quite fast.
Let's say that the power goes off, the grid goes down. How long would the battery last with normal use in the middle of winter?
You're right. Winter. I'll come to the winter thing, but just say in general, you should expect, and you can size it this way, but you should expect 24 hours of backup.
Mm-hmm.
I say that as a regular thing because I said a second ago about how lithium is kind of temperamental and it likes to be at room temperature. I'm sure you've noticed if you drive an electric car or others, when it's cold, you do not get the same mileage.
Yeah.
It's a real problem with lithium.
Yeah.
Not to keep going back to it, but one of the great things about sodium is it's so good in the cold as well as the heat. We are seeing in our testing right now 80% of room temperature performance when you run this at minus 20 or minus 30 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
That is cold, right? And if you're getting 80% performance, you've got a really wide operating temperature range. I'm in Boston, as I mentioned before, originally I'm from Canada. So you get hot summers and you get cold winters. So a battery that can flex between those things and perform virtually the same in both, that's a real asset.
Indeed.
Last question. I'm just real curious.
Sure.
I've been an electrician for quite a while, and I was around when the cordless drills first came in. I hate saying that. And the first one that I used was a Bosch, and the batteries would die just about instantly. Now I'm using different brands. I don't want to throw the brands out there, but sometimes it's like, dang, was this thing going to run out of juice?
Yep.
Is that kind of the way that you're seeing the evolution of the house batteries also working?
Absolutely.
As far as technology.
There continues to get better. Yeah, technology keeps getting better on that. You're totally right. I mean, it may have been, the chemistries have changed. I don't think that you're seeing LFP in handhelds, although you might be. But the lithium improvement has been pretty dramatic, and sodium is that next level of that. So, yeah, it's you should expect that level of continued performance improvement. The big jumps happen with changes in chemistry, whether it's from NMC to then LFP, and then, as I mentioned, LFP to sodium. But then continued optimization is a normal thing, for sure.
Yeah, well when the lithium first came in, I had a car charger, and I had the charger up in front on the driver's side, and opened up the back of my van, and electrical smoke came out. The lithium battery had caught on fire. Luckily, I caught it in time. I had about a foot flame on it. I called up the manufacturer, and they said, oh, yeah, there's a recall on that. I'm like, well, do I get a new one? No.
Oh, wow.
Always watching technology change. Yeah. With that, I'll get off there. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great show, Becky.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you. You know, it's because of the fires on scooters and such that CATL, the big Chinese battery manufacturer, has switched 50% of their production to sodium to get away from those fires. So, but their sodium, I'll bet, still has thermal runaway. They're not Alsim. It's a different chemistry. I was just going to put out the number one more time. We've got about 7 minutes left in our program. If anyone wants to call in, please do, 479-1080. Go ahead, Greg.
Just on CATL, if I don't mind, just for a second on that. So,
So
CATL, they're the big dog in batteries, no question. They have about 40% of global market share. Number two is BYD, also Chinese, and they have about 20%. So two companies with 60% market share. So we watch that. Now, I know you just said a second ago that they have about 50% sodium. But I think it's a shift to LFP is 50% what they've done. They are also going to sodium, and they've announced some offtakes there. I think of 65 gigawatt hours. We've announced 19 gigawatt hours. So we're in the ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think those companies are conflicted. They, as I said, they've invested hundreds of billions in the lithium strategy. They control the entire supply chain. I don't think they really want new competition around the world on sodium. So those are good companies. I don't want to disparage them, but I think they're trying to scare off any competitors until they can establish a lead, which is why, back to my other thing, the window is open right now.
Absolutely. And we can do this.
We can.
A couple of callers. Let me bring one on, please. Hello, caller. Thank you for calling Community Matters. You're on with Mr. Graham Grant from Alsim. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I had an idea for a small generator, something for home use, for example, or maybe a little bigger. And your battery sounds like something I might be able to use. Do you have a phone number I can get in touch with you people?
We do have a website. Alsim.com,
website, yeah.
And there's a and there's a contact us button. You can contact us there. As I said, though, our focus, think of us as almost like an engine manufacturer, and we sell to the car companies. So our typical focus is building cells. Not typical. Our focus is building cells as high quality and low cost as we can, and then sell them to the container manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. And I say in the newsletter, I keep going back to your excellent website and newsletters, Mr. Grant. In April of this year, Alcem signed a letter of intent for long duration energy storage system with ESS technology in Wilsonville, Oregon, 8.5 gigawatts. So is that a potential supplier for this caller's project, or how would he?
Yes.
Excellent.
Exactly right. That's a good example. ESS is an energy storage provider.
Okay.
They make the containers.
So can I get these websites from you? So is this Alcem, A-L-S-O-M?
Yeah. A-L-S-Y-M.
Yeah. Yeah. An excellent, excellent website. Very, very informative. And if you can sign up to get the newsletters, and I highly encourage that. Great information coming out every month.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're
welcome. Mm-hmm. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, caller?
Well, this is some of this, even a small electrical circuit, usually needs capacitors in some form, and that's basically what a battery is, at least schematically. It's a bunch of capacitors where you store electricity. So,
So these batteries will.
In other words, to me, a circuit isn't complete perhaps without a circuit, a capacitor somewhere, and again, equivalent to a battery. Anyway, I'll look into it.
Okay.
I'll look into your website.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much. So we're just about out of time. We got about 2 minutes, Mr. Grant. I want to thank you again for joining us. In a nutshell, what are some challenges for Alcem, and where can we learn more about your wonderful company and good product?
Yeah. To quote Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. So, you know, we've invented this incredible battery. We're trying to scale fast, but we need partners all the way through. I mentioned, you know, suppliers on the anode side, suppliers on the cathode side, manufacturing partners. So a lot of this is happening. This is just the challenge of taking on a big incumbent. But I'm very excited and encouraged by the potential for a dominant battery ecosystem in the United States, and that's our big challenge, because it doesn't exist today, but that's what gets it exciting for entrepreneurs like me. It's exciting coming to work every day thinking that you got a chance to do something new.
Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference for the communities and for the world, really. It will.
Yeah, it matters.
It does indeed. And Mr. Grant, I want to thank you again for joining us here today on Community Matters. Audience, please check out Alcem, A-L-S-Y-M. And Mr. Grant, thank you. Any further thoughts? You've got about 20 seconds. I'll give you the floor.
Oh, no, just thank you again. It's been a great pleasure to be on the call and talk to you about this. We're very passionate. There is a chance. There's a chance right now for, as I said, American battery leadership, and I hope we grab it.
We shall. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Grant. Stay tuned for the next program, listeners. This is Becky Steinbruner on Community Matters.